Hey there. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast. I am so glad you're here. This show is for leaders who care. Leaders who know that when things get messy, the way we communicate makes all the difference. Every week, I sit down with incredible guests, founders, VPs, rising stars, to unpack real moments of today where communication matters. We talk about what works, what doesn't, and how you can lead conversations that create trust, movement, and momentum. Because in uncertain times like today, your words have weight. Let's use them well. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we slow things down just a bit to help you communicate with more clarity and confidence in response to what's happening at your work and in our world. Today, we are talking about something that is happening that is very different in our world today. I'm talking about the messages that you send and receive, the Slack, the texts that you thought were private at one point. No longer, maybe. It may be public record. And today's world, we call that the screenshot economy, where that screenshot can go public. And so your words, your messages have weight. It means that the messages that you say in the meetings even can last after the meetings and even without your permission. So as a leader, what does that mean? You might want to ask yourself, how can I communicate with clarity, with influence, with integrity, even if things can get taken out of context? So joining me today is the perfect leader, Caitlin Fluler. She's a senior Fluler.
No, you're good. Fluler,
I said that right. Okay, I thought you said Caitlin Fluler.
No, I just said hi.
Yeah, Caitlin Fluler. She's the senior VP at PrayTel. She's a seasoned communication leader. She helps top brands with both their visibility, influence on media platforms. And she's just special because she combines both the strategy as well as creative storytelling for media, for brands, and so that messages land. And I'm so glad that you're here, Caitlin. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. No, this is going to be so fun. I think this is interesting. And the people, so, you know, imagine, I'm going to start off with this first question. The listener right now is a busy CEO, executive, and has stopped to listen to this episode. What do you hope can change in his or her life by really taking what we're saying to heart?
I mean, I think when I think about the screenshot economy, there's a lot of fear around that. And I think especially the higher up you get in your career and the more people you lead, the more fear there is, because your words mean a lot more than they maybe used to when you were lower in your career. And so I think don't fear the screenshot and don't try to control the screenshot. Control your own integrity and be thinking about aligned. And that's really what you have to always ask yourself. Am I aligned with A, how I want to act as a leader and as a person, but B, am I aligned with the brand? Am I aligned with the brand promise? And is what I'm saying, can I map it back to that? Because even if things go wrong, even if something happens that you couldn't predict, as long as you're in alignment with your purpose and what the purpose of the brand is, then you're safe. So it doesn't matter. And I think that's the biggest thing, because if you try to operate in a way that's like, I'll stay silent or I'll figure out how to spin it, you're going to drive yourself crazy. You really just have to find that alignment. And it's not something to be scared of. Like, it's okay. You know, good things are screenshot too.
Yes. Well, I can't wait to dive in. And it sounds like you have had a lot of experience with this, with your clients and with the companies. And so tell us more about what you do and what excites you.
Yeah, I've been in agencies my entire career. So that's the past 16 years. And I have done a couple short stints embedded in client organizations, which has given me really, really good perspective that I think a lot of agency people probably need at some point in their agency career. But I always find myself back in agencies. I love it. I like the pace. I like that it's new every day. I like that our primary function is to solve problems for our clients and act as an extension of their team. And it's really given me the opportunity to lead a bunch of different kind of teams, which is something that I really thrive in. So early on in my career, I was mostly leading very straightforward traditional PR teams, and now I mostly do integrated teams. So that's when we're blending PR, social, influencer, data, strategy, everything. And my job is kind of to bring all these different disciplines together and kind of get us all moving in the right direction. So kind of get everybody on the same boat and let's all start rowing together.
Yeah, that is powerful. That's huge, especially with all the different platforms and the amount of influence that we have. And so just really think strategically about it, in alignment with it. That's big. So congratulations on these roles.
Yeah, it's exciting, and it's just there's such deep expertise in each kind of
Yeah,
category that it's like
yeah.
finding how do we all blend our level of
Right.
expertise and then produce the best results for our clients, which is really nice because I think, God, it feels like 5 years ago feels like so long now, but it wasn't that long ago where you did a PR campaign and you didn't really have to think that much about social. And now everything is so integrated that one idea on one channel, we have to consider every single channel, how they all work together. And of course, different audiences on different channels. Is audience one going to react the same way they would, you know? And then if you think about screenshotting and stuff, it's easy to screenshot something from one channel and share it on another, where maybe the channel purpose or the audience is different. So we're kind of all thinking in our respective disciplines, but together to produce the best end result.
Yeah, for your clients, which are going to be, again, depending on what the client's needs and desires are and what works for them is so different. So, so fascinating. So when I say screenshot economy, what is that first like story or experience that you think about?
Oh my God. I mean,
Can I share it?
I mean, there's war stories, you know, just like true horror stories, I think. I think of it two ways. I think of the group chat. Like there's the internet has very much memed the idea of like, oh my gosh, what would you do if your group chat was leaked? And that's like a
Yes.
personal thing. But I think that very much actually applies to business too, because oftentimes you think I'm communicating on Slack with one coworker,
Yeah.
I am texting with a peer level person, but you don't know in 1 year, 2 years, maybe 2 weeks, what the situation could be. And so I think, again, I'm not telling people to be afraid, but I am saying be mindful. If you're a leader, you're in charge of people, and people look up to you on a team or in a company, especially if you're in that C-suite level, you have to take a lot of time and introspection to get aligned on what are the company goals. That's my primary function, but then how am I using my own skills, my talents, my own personal values to get to those goals? And I think once you are aligned on that, it's the rest is pretty easy, but that's the hard part. I think when I'm sitting down with a lot of my clients, there's no one playbook for every C-suite member because they're all different people. They all have different experiences. They all have different ways of living. And so it's about finding the way that works for you to get to those goals. And then whatever you say, whatever you're writing, whatever you're texting, typing, hopefully posting on social, should, if that's in alignment, then I think at the end of the day, you can probably feel pretty good about that. Not to say that everyone's not going to agree with you. That I don't say
Yeah.
that as it's going to be easy. You are probably going to say or do some things that are going to upset some people, and that's okay. But as long as you can sleep at night, that's probably
Right.
what's more important.
Right. I agree. I completely agree. And that if we really take it to heart, some of the core values and who we are as a person, as a leader, and really continue to demonstrate that consistently across all platforms. And it's just more important now than ever, especially with this screenshot economy.
Totally. There was a quote that I lean on a lot because leaders are faced with really, really hard decisions, and they do have to be often the face or the figurehead. And that might just mean internally to the company, that might mean externally to audiences. And I often remind them, I think the quote is something along the lines of like, they see the decisions you made, not the choices you have. And that's the hardest part, I think, of being a leader is because that you don't get to provide all this context and they don't know you as this person who you have been your. So they don't get to see, you might have had two bad choices and you made the best one. People only see that decision. I think as leaders, you know, sometimes you have to be comfortable with that. And that's a really hard part, and something that we work with executives on a lot. But I think, you know, nobody wants to have that moment where someone's like, screenshot, I sent this to you. But sometimes it does happen. This is the internet culture we live in. And so let's make sure that the comms that we're putting out and that you're using in a day-to-day forum are super aligned with who you are and what the brand promises, I think.
Exactly. Because even if I don't need to provide the context or have the time to provide the context, going back to your original thought of if I can sleep at night and I know that I did it in true alignment with my values and what is best for the company. And the thing is, sometimes we make mistakes, but I'm still going to be in alignment with the best that I know at that time. Then I could continue to communicate in a way that is consistent and in alignment. Then it doesn't matter what decision it was, because and people are not going to like that decision, but I don't have to justify and over explain.
And you know what? People like internal teams, especially, they love predictability. They love, I've been blessed with some really great bosses, like in my current role, where I know them as people. And so I trust, I agree with every decision they make, trust them, and I trust that they have our collective best interest. And again, it's like, you know, what I advise a lot of executives on, I'm not in every meeting that they're in, and I don't know all the decisions they have to make in the day, but at the end of the day, I trust it. So when they send something to me, I might not like it, but at least I know we have a good mutual trust in which I'm like, okay, makes sense. We can do that, you know? And I think the best leaders gain that trust by being consistent, you know? And that consistency really comes from alignment. You can be consistent when you know your purpose, and then when you know what your role is, and then you can act upon that, I think.
And how does this play across the brands, like as an organization?
I mean, I think in a very similar way. I think you never want to be the most predictable leader, but I think when we are working with executives on external comms initiatives or even just like their personal PR or something, it's like we can't be changing who you are in for every audience. You are and you have your values, and now let's match those values to the brand values and let's meet somewhere in between and come up with a communications plan that's kind of right there in the middle. And so in that way, it's like the challenge for us as PR and comms folks is like, how do we pick out the best things out of that person? And how do we put those forth for different audiences?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I'm thinking about like politicians. It's not this is
Yeah.
interesting because the politicians sometimes they'll make the wrong choice.
Often
A
I've
lot of
heard.
times, right? And then sometimes a lot of times.
Yeah.
But then and then it's like, well, then there's a reputation now they have of not being trustworthy because they made the wrong choice at one point in their life. Like, what do you say about that? Like how can and we don't want
It's
to be
like,
afraid,
no, it's like the simplest and most complicated answer, and probably the most frustrating one that I give my clients, some of which, who in the history of my career have been politicians. It's two words. It's be human. I say, be human. Just be human. Just be human.
Interesting and frustrating at the
The challenge is
yeah.
that often, like, a figurehead is not really seen as a human.
Yeah.
And sometimes, if you're speaking on, in a politician's case, you often are speaking for yourself. Maybe you're speaking on behalf of the party, but again, you, if you're speaking on behalf of the brand, a brand is not a human. So again, you don't get the context, you don't get the benefit of the doubt. But I think if you think about different leaders, there's leaders who are trying to sound human, an
Yeah.
audience can sniff that out, and then there are leaders who are human. And the leaders who are human, it is much harder to be that kind of leader because humans are messy. Humans make mistakes. Humans do bad things. That's the truth of it. And so, but humans also can own up to their mistakes. And I think sometimes, whether that's a small internal problem or a big external problem that audiences got to know about, the internet blows up, I think you have to take fast and immediate ownership. Yeah.
So that's the key. If anything were to ever happen like that, hopefully not, knock on wood, but take fast and immediate ownership and be authentic, be human, own up to it.
Yeah. And the truth is like, I think we've seen, I think a little bit before COVID, audiences looked at leaders and they said, you must have all the answers. And then post-COVID, I think people were okay if you didn't have all the answers, if you admitted that. Now, if you can't, if you're not able to admit that, then of course people are going to be frustrated with you. But I think if you're to remind people, like, hey, I'm a human too, like that. lot. Because I think we forget sometimes you see, especially if you're thinking about a Fortune 500 CEO, that doesn't feel like human to the everyday audience. That just, I mean, sometimes I call them like they're a mythical figure, like in an office somewhere, you know? And, you know, there's an element sometimes people want to have a gotcha moment. So when you're thinking about text messages or Slack messages or Microsoft Teams, like there's all these millions of channels. I'm like, now it's like we used to just communicate very simply. And now we, in one day, we might have used like three or four or five different messaging platforms. And that's like really hard, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. So it's just something to be really mindful of when we're communicating. But I think the more, like you said, the more we can just allow ourselves, give ourselves permission to be human, the easier it becomes.
Totally.
Just allow yourself to be a little messy, make mistakes, but own up to it if you do make a mistake, and
Yeah.
quickly. Yeah.
Because I'm like some of the a lot of the same principles that I think apply to like this sort of communication strategy are the same things I'm like teaching my toddler now. And not to belittle
Good.
anybody, but sometimes
Good.
something I'm like, and same for me as an adult now. Good
Yeah.
reminder.
And then same thing for a brand too, like an organization. If something, tell us more about that. How can a brand that has built something, if something like a, bad PR goes out, what is the immediate thing that this organization can do?
The first thing I say is, okay, everybody stop. Get off your computer, get off your phone. Let's start asking ourselves questions. There's a lot happening out there, or generally in there, I say in the computer, but out there. Everybody stop. What's our brand promise? What did we do? What does our audience expect of us every day? Not in this moment when something we didn't like happened, but what do they expect of us every day? That's usually fairly easy to answer. Then the question becomes, what do they expect of us now? And I've worked across so many different kinds of brands that you can generally sort of understand. We have an idea what they expect, but we don't have to guess anymore. We can go on Reddit, Discord, social. We can look at kind of what people want. The audiences are pretty communicative. They'll tell us, and then we come back and we say, okay, this is what we promised people. This is the mistake we made. This is who we want to be, and this is what we have to do. Now, that sounds very simple when I'm saying it, and that ends up being a lot of hours and a lot of reflection and a lot of debate generally, but I think come back to your brand promise. What do people expect of us every day, and how do we get back to that place? Because rebuilding trust is always possible, but if you can't actually acknowledge the mistake you made, you're still going to be fighting the loss of trust until you do that. And I have had brands say, you know, we're not taking your advice. We're doing it this way. Month later, we're still kind of talking about the same thing and we got to do it again. And that's okay too. Like, there's not brands are not always ready, but I think you just got to stick to your brand promise. Because if you have a product or an idea or a platform that people like and they, you know, your audience will come back to you, but they just want to be able to trust you.
And I think sometimes brands or people are afraid to lose that trust because I know that they worked hard on it, and so they don't
Oh,
want
yeah.
to feel like, oh, they have to start all over. But at the same time, if we don't address it, it's still going to probably last longer and perpetuate.
Yeah, no, it will perpetuate and people will find things. That's what I say is like, if we're not clear and we don't have a clear narrative, someone's going to make one for us. And they're not going to make it up off the top of their head and write like some fake story. They're going to find one little tidbit somewhere on the internet and they're going to build a story. So let's get our story, our mission clear, and then we can go from there.
So
I think the
fast.
challenge too is that people are so public now. So you didn't used to know who worked at your favorite snack brand or who worked at your hair care brand or the makeup brand. Now you kind of fall in love with the people who work at your brand, like in this weird parasocial relationship. So it's not like, oh, this product let me down. It's like these people let me down. And that's where the challenge comes. And then, you know, this is, God, I mean, probably a decade now, but brands used to be able to say, those views are not reflective of our own. And you can't really say that anymore. If someone works at your company, we're going to assume that you hired them because they reflect the brand integrity that you uphold. And so I think we've seen these like pivotal shifts as just communications in general has changed. But yeah, it's hard because everybody's, you know, people are front facing. We even see now, like, so many brands have creators on their teams, which is so great, and they're making all this like great content, but they're real people too in real life. And sometimes, like, you have to be accountable for the people that work for your brand.
Love it. And how do you help your organizations embody the brand?
And it sounds easy, but it's kind of hard in this today because there's so many different types of audiences and so many channels. So you kind of, it's instinctual to think, I want to be able to talk to all these people. But sometimes I think if you're very clear, the right people will come.
Oh yeah, right. And then clarity we need because there's so many things. Simplicity means clarity.
No, I always say, I've always said, you've got to make it more simple. You know, I'll get a messaging doc and it's 8 pages long. And I said, what are you going to do with this? Well, these are our brand messages. I said, to who? Who?
No, thank you.
Who? Like, I mean, if an Instagram video is longer than like 25 seconds, nobody's staying. So who's reading
Any of
Google
it.
pages of a Google Doc?
It's tough. It's tough. I love it. I love it. Oh, and Caitlin, what is that one key takeaway? We've covered so much, but what
My
is
God.
that one key takeaway that you want people to remember?
Oh my God, I always joke with my clients, and I do like reality TV, I really do, and it's the housewives. Say it, forget it, write it, regret it. But that's not entirely true, but I think if you're going to put pen to paper, if you're going to say something, just know that it lives there forever, and you've got to stay in alignment, and you've got to be really clear with yourself. If you're going to say something, well, I guess in this, write it, then that's with you forever. I
Love.
was of the school where it was like we didn't have, you know, Facebook just became a thing when I went to college. So like I lived a lot of great years before everything was screenshot, you know.
I
I had a digital
mean,
camera, so it was great.
And it's going to continue to change. And so, I think the more that we're, just knowing who we are, I think that's the key too, right? And then, own it.
And you see that with the best leaders and how their teams talk about them. Often they're not talking about that amazing campaign that they did, or when I was there, we reached this level of success. They talk about the things. I loved how decisive they were. I loved, even when I did something wrong, they taught me. I loved the fact that they always stayed true to the mission. I knew what to expect from them. And I think that's like where the biggest learnings come. And the best leaders that I've worked with are the same way.
And we want those to be our screenshots.
Yes.
Those moments.
That's what I
Love
say
it.
too. And sometimes they say great stuff, or there's a great picture, or a very human moment. And I'm like,
Yes.
that's a screenshot too,
That's
sometimes, you
awesome.
know.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Oh, that's so fun, Caitlin. I think that there was so much there to unpack and think about and remember. And so I really appreciate your time and your expertise on the show. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And how can people, brands, organizations, they want to work with Pray Tell, how can they get a hold of you?
I think you can email me, CaitlinFleuler@gmail.com, or you can also find me on email or on Instagram. That's my screen or my first and last name on Instagram.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you.
You. Thank you. And thank you, audience, for being here. Until next time, continue to speak with clarity, confidence, and influence, and make a bigger difference in the world. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in today. If this conversation sparks something for you, if you're thinking, we talk a lot in our organization and things still fall through the cracks. We're not getting the results that we want. I've got something for you that might help. It's called the Accountability Self-Assessment, and it takes less than 60 seconds. In one quick review, you'll get real insights as to why accountability and results are slipping on your team. And you'll walk away with a legacy accountability card. It's a simple one-pager framework to help you and your team move talk to traction. Because the legacy of you and your team is built more than just meetings. It's built on clarity, consistency, and follow-through. So grab it today. Go to speakandflow.com or click on the link in the show notes. It's free, fast, and built for busy leaders like you. See you next time. Until then, keep communicating with impact and momentum.